years, and we focused on that, and by the grace of God, it has grown into a mission month. And actually, I remember hearing a really, really great speaker at Urbana, which is a mission conference for young people, especially college age and young adults. I hope some people from our church will be able to attend this year. But I remember going there, and I joined in with a pastor's group, and the kids from our church were going to their different, you know, workshops and things like that. And I joined this table, which, by the way, was God's providence, because Pastor Austin Wu from OCM Church, who's preached in this church here, you remember him, right? Pastor Austin was sitting at that table, and I had never met him before. I was not a pastor at that time. And God drew me to that table where he was sitting, and we've been friends ever since. And he came into my life at a time when I really needed somebody, and God made that association with us. And so God works in amazing ways. But anyway, I was part of this workshop, and there was a guy got up, and he started to talk, and I was pretty, you know, mesmerized with what he was saying. He was really on fire, but he was also really in your face. So some of the pastors and some of the missionaries that were sitting there were a little bit, you know, like moving around in their seats when he was talking, because they were being convicted, you know, of his speaking, and he was rather direct. You know, there are some people that kind of go to a place like this to get there. I don't know what it is in your experience, you know, but I'm more used to the direct part, so I liked hearing somebody just go right to the point. And he was talking about missions, and he was talking to pastors, and he said, a woman in my church really said, you know, she said, let's start this mission, not just once a year, but let's do it once a month. And he said, how about we do it every week? You know, and that's when everybody started to shuffle around. You know, like, okay, well, that's a drastic thing. We're going to have a mission Sunday every week. But I think he's right. You know, it should be every week. It's not just, if you want to really get into it, it's every day or every second of our lives. All right, so we're used to having that kind of a day, and it's International Teachers' Day. So, of course, you know, it's nice to have that, but it should be every day, right? Thankful towards teachers, thankful for all these different days that we come up with, because human beings have a habit of forgetting things, right? We forget about how good it is to have a teacher, and oftentimes we only look back on those things when we're much older and feel like, I really appreciate, like for me, it's Mrs. Revere. Mrs. Revere in my second grade class in Linden Avenue School in Glen Ridge, New Jersey. I mean, it makes me emotional just thinking about her. She was incredibly kind. And it didn't really matter what she was teaching me, because she was teaching me deeper things in life. How important it is to value a life of someone and to care for their life with tenderness and with gentleness and with love. And at the same time, with gentle discipline, to bring up a child, right, in that kind of a way in her class like that. Isn't it amazing how those kind of people stay in our minds? And I'm sure all of us have someone like that. So, you know, every day and every second, we are missionaries. We are people that have this mission in our hearts as Christians, that we want to know, you know, more about God, and we want to grow in our lives with God, but we also want to be disciples of him and go out and be his witnesses. I'm a failure. I'll say it right now. I fail many times in my life, and I'm going to fail again, but the grace of God is greater than all of my sin and all of my failures. And God fills his word with encouragement. Keep on going. Paul wrote to Timothy and said, keep going. Don't let anything get in your way. People are going to look down on you because you're a young person, but overcome that by showing them, you know, just how you love Jesus and how firm your faith is in him. All right, so there's this ongoing kind of a thing in your life, and I really believe that God wants you to know that today, that you are a person that can influence the life of someone else in a very positive way. And the greatest way that you can do that is by telling them about the love of God and about the saving grace of Jesus and about heaven. That there's a heaven that is waiting for those who come to faith in Christ Jesus and live for him, right? So I was looking at this theme of missions, and I was struck by, and it was actually a sermon by Luis Palau, an evangelist who reached millions of people while he was alive. And I enjoy listening to him and read his books and things. But it was listening to one of his sermons that really gripped me and made me feel that it's so important to pray for missions. And so I chose three different verses, or there's a couple of verses in Colossians here that we can look at today so that we can see in God's word that it is important to pray for missions and how, that part in our lives in that way. And the first one is John 15:16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Those are Jesus' words. Do you see the prayer in there? That you may ask the Father, right? That you may ask the Father in my name, in Jesus' name, and he may give it to you. And he was sending them out, the disciples out, so with this promise that if they ask anything in his name, then the Father will provide it for their needs in this kind of a way. You know, it's a funny thing how we grow up and we hear different Bible verses and we apply them to our lives in a certain situation. And like, for instance, if you say that, God is our comforter and he's our protector and he is going to watch over us, or he's our strength and our rock, in those kind of ways, and we apply that, and I think it's true that we should do that. We apply it to our lives, that we're going through something. I'm having a hard time with my spouse, or I'm having a hard time with this teacher, or I'm having a hard time with a friend or an enemy or someone like that, and so I'm really going through a hard time. Or maybe I'm sick, in these kind of ways. And God does come into those situations as a rock and a protection, and one who is going to be there for us. But the real emphasis of what Jesus is talking about is in regard to us as his witnesses. That he is going to help us as his witnesses. And the things that we need to be able to do that effectively. That is really the place that the Bible is talking about. Be my rock. Praying to God. Be my rock, my protector. Help me as I go out as your witness in this world so that I can be effectively reaching people. Right. Today in the devotional that I wrote for the lectionary reading was talking about the verse in Timothy, 2 Timothy, where Paul says, God has not given you a spirit of cowardice, which is the word that was used there. You're not a spirit of cowardice, but of power and love and self-discipline. And in those kind of things, he's talking about that kind of cowardice, being a witness to other people about Jesus, about God, being a man of God who is going to help people to grow in their faith in that kind of a way. Right? So I think it's good that we go to the Bible and we're in need and we want to grow in our lives in these different ways, but apply that this month to your life as a witness. How is your witness going? Right? How is that shown in your life, and where is there cowardice? Right? Is there any cowardice there? I mean, Paul comes out and tells him right up front, God did not give you a spirit of cowardice, Timothy, you're his man. He's chosen you for this role. Now you can go out and be bold in that. And he encouraged him with his own boldness in the way that he did things that really, we can take heart and see as well. So when we're talking about God be my rock, let's apply that to our witness. God, help me, Lord, to see you as my rock, that you're going to provide with me that kind of a fervent spirit that I am going to lovingly and graciously and purposefully telling someone about you. I want to grow in that. Will you join me in that walk together as brothers and sisters in this church, that we can encourage one another to grow in our effectiveness as witnesses to the Word of God, because we profess it as being that important, right? If it is important, then we want to do that. And we begin to pray. We pray to God, God, help me in my life. I need you to give me that courage. I need you to give me the discipline to be able to read your word and to keep it inside and to be able to be prepared in my life as a witness of you. Right? So that's one aspect to hear. But Jesus said, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. God has chosen you to and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Right? So we hear these words like fruit, and we talk about how we could be fruitful, and maybe we apply that to our studies. But it all comes together in a fruit that is going to be resulting in a world receiving the good news of Jesus Christ. Bearing fruit, seeing lives change, seeing people give their lives over to Jesus. Luis Palau is kind of an interesting person. He began at a very young age to evangelize. So there's a lot of things we can learn from him. He really had no fear. Maybe he did, but you know. But overall, he's known for his bravery, his total openness. I remember I went to see him when he was older. He was maybe a year before he died. I went to see him speak in New York one time. And he said, you know, we're just so scared of opening a conversation with people. And he said, I saw a rabbi standing on a corner. So I went up to him and I said, Shalom. Now, you know, we can think of all kinds of different things that are going to happen. Oh, you're a racist. You're saying this word, shalom, to a rabbi, and you're picking him out. I remember there was a girl that got very annoyed one time because a Caucasian said ni hao to a person on her campus. And she said, that's terrible. That's racist. That's horrible. And I was thinking, what's horrible about that? I mean, you can make it into something horrible, I guess. But I do that. You know, I do that to break down barriers. I try to, you know, have fun getting to know a new language and trying it out on someone like that. The world has really gotten so sensitive to those things. But actually, you know, he went up to a guy and he said, Shalom. And it opened up a conversation, right? You can learn a lot of things from different people that don't have that fear. And they're more, you know, open about just saying something to they're not afraid. They're living out that verse, not a spirit of cowardice or fear, but of power and love and self-discipline. Try it. Right? So that is one instance here that we should ask the Father in Jesus' name that he would give it to you. So this is one instance of the prayer being so important in missions, that we want to fulfill that mission through the help of God. Okay, we can take it Luke 10. Luke 10, 2. And he said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Have you heard this verse before? Look, it's not just about prayer, but listen to what it says. The harvest is plentiful. There are people in need of knowing Jesus in the world. Right? Think about that. We're all thinking like nobody wants to do anything with Christians. Everybody hates Christians. Jesus said this. It's the complete opposite. The harvest is plentiful. There are people who need the Lord. The harvest is plentiful. Can we say that together? The harvest is plentiful. Now, what does that mean to you? Right? What does it mean to you in the sense of what you're going to do? Right? Well, it says this, right? Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Can we do that? Now, I know we've talked about everybody's a missionary. You could do your own thing, and you can do all those kind of things. Okay, so are you doing it? That's a little bit in-the-face kind of direct approach. I'm not enough, okay? Let's be honest. But it says here, and this is something that God is saying to us, right? Pray to the Lord of the harvest. He is God. He is the one over this harvest. He's the one that we need to go to. It's not my strength. It's not my gifts. It's not what I do. It's not my communication skills. And I know Luis Palau would not say that it was his own ability to do that that changes lives. But God gave him the gift to be able to be unafraid and to open up a conversation with someone in faith that God was going to work in that situation. So it's not just having the guts or something like that to say, I'm going to speak to somebody. It means that God is going to work through you in that situation there. And, you know, he would say, just like anybody else, you know, we don't know what a person is going to say. Right, we had that experience yesterday. Those of us who were on the street in the street fair yesterday know there were some people that wanted to talk and there were some people who just kept going. But regardless, we are there and we are trying to reach people with the most important thing in the world. Right? We want them to know. And so we have to start somewhere. We have to start somewhere. Right? We want to be able to experience and stretch our wings and be able to let God take that control and teach us what he's going to do in those situations. Jayo. Keep pouring oil on it. I always remember that because a good friend of ours from Hong Kong taught us that. Well, Lee Chan knew what it meant always, but I learned it from him. And I always remember him for that. Don't give up. And you know when that came? When I was going to seminary. And another guy came up to me, was a longtime member of our church growing up, a person that was a big person in our church. When I was in seminary, I went to visit them, and I was looking to encourage them and to talk to them and to just share with them, you know. And you know what he said? John, don't give up. You know, those are the kind of things that we possess. Those are the kind of words and the kind of hearts that we possess to make a difference in one another's lives. Those three words, don't give up. And that's what God does. He keeps on bringing people into our lives to encourage us and to show us, this is what I chose you for. This is why you're here. People need to know that I sent my son into the world to die for their sins, and that their sins will be washed away, and they'll be given eternal life. And so that is what God is calling to us to in this mission month, this month. To pray to the Lord of harvest that he would send out workers, right? And so we need to pray for that specifically, and you can also pray for yourself. And because you pray that, you may just get that message from God. You may feel like I have my occupation all set. I've gone to school. I've gone to that college. I got my degree. I've prepared myself. And then Calvin Chan says, God called me after I got my degree in Manhattan School of Music for playing cello, and I got my degree. God called me to be an InterVarsity working in that school, and I did it. That's his story. Okay? So you never know. You never know. I think that's in the Bible somewhere. You never know what's going to happen, and it is terrifying on one side because we're like, I got to, and my parents, and all these people, and I got, and I have plans, I'm going to, and a house, And I'm going to get out of where I'm living now, and I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to get a house, and I'm going to get all these cars, and I want all this money, and I can get vacations, and I can do all this, and I can do all these different things. And God is like, there are lives that are in the harvest out there that are in need of being reached. What are you going to do about it? I'm calling you. What about Abraham? I want you to pick up, and I want you to go to a place that you don't know. Right? That's what we're in. I would imagine that he was a man of great faith, but I would imagine that he was also thinking to himself, like, you want me to go where? It's great to be a Christian, isn't it? All these exciting things that you're going to be called to do, and all these things that are going to keep you from falling asleep and just being caught up in the world and saying, okay, I'm just going to work and do this job, and I'm going to do that every day of my life, and then I'm going to retire, and I'm going to have a wonderful time, and I'm going to take cruises, and I'm going to go all over the world, and I'm going to see things, and then what? So Luis Palau, sorry, am I talking about Luis Palau in order to remember him? But he told the story about how there was a little boy where they grew up, and he came to know Christ as Savior, and the next day he was struck by a car and killed. And he mentioned that boy coming to know faith in a stadium filled with people to tell them that this boy was in heaven. Lives were changed. People heard how this boy was saved even though he died. And isn't that the message? We have this dream or some kind of a perception that we can just keep going and going and going and going and going. Oh, and we can have science just extend life. Maybe, you know, that's not what we're made for. We're made for glorifying God with the time that he gives to us here. And it's the most wonderful thing in the world to do that. Right? So the harvest is great. We have to pray to the Lord of harvest to send people out. The workers are few. The workers are few. That means that people are not willing to do what God has called them to do. Let's belong to those who go. Let's belong to those who are called and that go, and they do what God wants them to do. One last one, Colossians. There's many others, okay? These are just a couple. Colossians 4, verse 2, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it, with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Notice how Paul, who is a missionary, is in prison, and he's writing this, and he's saying, pray that I will be able to do the work of God. Is he constrained by prison? No. This man was so in love with Jesus, so immersed in the calling of Jesus in his life, that no matter where he was or whatever happened to him, he was still confident in the power of God's gospel. And God's might to be able to bring things into people's lives that way. Indeed, he used that instance for him to be able to reach people in a different way in that kind of. He wasn't constrained at all by the things that we're constrained by. Right? So continue steadfastly in prayer. So, again, I want to be honest with you. It's not easy for me to pray. Okay? It's not. I really wish that I could say I'm on. You know, just follow me around and I'll just show you how to do it. It's not that way. It's not easy because we're sinful. We're sinful people that want to spend more time playing video games and watching NFL games and baseball games. And we want to be doing other things in our lives, but not that. We'll put that over there and we'll get to that sometime. All right, let's be honest. But he says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it. I don't know what that means to you, but to me that means you're engaged in it. You're devoted into it. Your heart is into it. steadfastly, with as though your life depends upon it. That's where we're going in our lives, to build that kind of a prayer life. And you know when it starts? When you get down on your knees and you pray. Right? With thanksgiving. Right? Are you a thankful person? Do people feel good to be around you because you're so thankful, right? That's what we want to be like, isn't it? I'm so thankful to see you today. I'm so thankful I can get up in the morning. I knew another guy that said, I get up every morning and I tell God, thank you, thank you, thank you for saving my life, that I would come into the presence of Holy God and be able to speak with you and to know you and to be able to tell people about you. Thank you, God. Right? Those are the kind of things that Christians do, because they know that there is something to be thankful for. It's Jesus Christ, right? So I don't know where you are in your life. I kind of know. I was talking with the two brothers here, and they were telling me about their family and a little bit about their studies, and so I know a little bit more about them. I know some, you know, most of you, I know at least some things, right, about, we know about each other. But if we're all in kind of the same place, we're human beings, and we're all here in this family of God together, then I think that what God does is that he grows us in similar ways, even though we're different people. There are things that we have in common. And I know for a fact, because I have faith in God, not my own strength, but because of his strength, that he is going to help me to grow more and more a prayerful man. I have faith in him, not in myself. Because he comes at you, and he comes, and he comes, and he comes with a love that is so overwhelming and so filled with power, and so filled with the Spirit of God, that it just takes you, and before you know it, you're doing things that you didn't do before, and you're seeing things that you didn't see before, just like Helen Keller, right? She thought, the life is over, my life, why am I born? And then she's transformed into this person, right? Because someone introduced and took the time to be able to help her. And that's what happens in the church, everybody. We help each other to be able to go in the direction of growing in our faith. We encourage one another. We help one another. We love one another. We share with one another. You know, all the things we were talking about with fellowship. We encourage, we don't do it perfectly, but we do it. We have that in us because God is in us and he's at work in us. And so it's really him. He's doing it, coming into our lives and pouring that love of his into us that we cannot begin to even imagine. We were talking about that verse in the ESL class the other night. The things that your ear and your eyes have not seen, you cannot imagine in any level the things that God has prepared for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. That is really where it's at, right? That God is going to show us things, not just in heaven, but now, that exists, that he's waiting to show us. And we just need that faith that, yes, it's true, God. And then suddenly you start to feel like, I got so much time on my hands to pray and so much time on my hands to praise him, because I put all the other things in my life that were getting in the way behind me. I'm not there yet. Will you pray for me that I will be? I mean that seriously. Will you pray for me that I will stop being living in this puny faith that I possess and this sinful kind of an attitude, to put other things before God and to see the need for Christ in people's lives in this world, and to get on my knees and pray and pray and pray. And then grab somebody from the church and say, let's pray together, and we're going to pray and pray and pray together. There's a guy that we got to know. I was talking with Candy about the Christmas child boxes that we prepare each year, right? She's going to establish that again for us, and we can send those out. I've told you this story before, but I'll tell it again, because I just recently heard from a person who received one of those boxes. Our daughter Julia sent a box, and it went to India. She didn't know it was going to India, and it arrived in India, and she had put her address and name on there and said, write me back. And so this little boy named Salvin wrote her back, and he said, please pray for my father, because we had this terrible thing happen where all these kids have lost their fathers, the sole center of earning for the family. They were killing themselves because the government had taken away their sustenance and all their work, and suddenly all these kids had no parents. The mother couldn't work. They didn't work at that time, so it really was depending on the fathers. He writes this back to Julia, okay? And he says, will you pray for my father? So, because he's started this whole thing. He's going to bring all these orphans to live with us. And he did it. So I wrote him and I contacted him. We got in touch and we started to write back and forth. And, you know, we did some things together. We had you know, a fundraiser to raise money for the orphanage there. And we kept in touch. And then one day he walked down Mount Vernon Street here and came into our church and preached the sermon. Now, how wild is that? From India. And God brought us together in that way. So what I'm trying to get to here is this. He wrote me a letter, and he told me that India is becoming more and more dangerous to live in as Christians, that the government is shutting down any kind of religious meetings. And so what did he say he's going to do? He and some other pastors there are going to form a team, and they're going to go to every state in India and pray. Not do other things, not just, I mean, they'll probably speak about the preaching of the God's word, but they're going there to pray for each state. And they're going to go out and do that. And that's what he's doing now. He's starting a team of people, and that's the reaction that they have in the world that they're living in, to go to each state in India and pray there with other pastors and other Christians there for God to come and to come in power to restore the freedom for them to worship as they will. Christians, pray. And our friend Luis Palau said, I know a lot of people will come up to you and they'll say, yes, yes, Luis, prayer is important, but we got to get out there. And he said, not without praying first. And so that's what we want to do in our church. We want to pray first. Because there's no power in our own selves. We don't have any power to do anything without that. And it's going to be hard sometimes. It's going to be hard because prayer is not a popular thing. Okay? It's not a popular thing, and people talk about it, and people are saying that in our society today. I'm sick of hearing about the good thoughts and prayers. I want to see something. But they don't understand who God is. Okay? So we need to tell them who he is and why it's important to pray. And we're not just saying that. We're saying that because we believe in a holy God who loves them and can come into situations where there's hurt and loss, and he can revive them and he can restore them and bring meaning from them. Right? And so it's not a popular thing, but it's something that we as a people need to do. Wang Mingdao was a man who lived in China, and he said, my work is prayer. My work is not doing mission work, it is prayer. Right? So I need that. Let's all do that, okay, together. Today after lunch, we're going to have lunch, and then we're going to pray. Right? We're going to pray as a church. Chinese English congregations coming together to pray to God. We met at 9 o'clock today. Teachers are encouraged to come and to pray for the students in their classes and for their lives. 9 o'clock. We're doing it 1 week. First week of the month, and maybe it'll grow in, just like our friend who was at Urbana said, maybe it'll be every week. We don't know, but we need to begin somewhere, and so we want to pray to God, right? Pray for us that God may open a door to us for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison. Speak about people who are being shut down. But he wasn't shut down. He's in prison on account of his faith in Christ. But he wants them to pray for him that when he is given that chance again, or even in prison, that he would make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Those are the kind of things we learn from God's word. That's the pump. We put our hand underneath and we feel the water on there. And it's the water of living life, right? The water of life that is Jesus Christ that comes and is poured out into our lives to bring meaning. And the hand of that teacher forming the word W-A-T-E-R, that is going to make the connection. And God is making a connection in us through his Holy Spirit today. Let us embrace it. And brothers and sisters, begin to pray. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this word today, and it's so exciting to be in this world. Lord, it's so exciting to know you, to know that we possess the words of life, that you are the word of life. We thank you, Father, for the words that were written in your word that are in these three verses, these three places, but also throughout, Lord, how important it is that you want to be in contact with us. You want to help us. You want to teach us. You want to show us the way. But you also want us to be your disciples and to be your light. We pray, Lord, that we would be so enraptured with you, that we would be so moved in our hearts, Father, that there are people dying in this world that we need to pray and we need to tell them what we have been told. And so, God, we need your help, but we have faith in you. We have faith in you. You brought your son up from the dead, and he rose into heaven, and he's coming again, and one day we will see him. And so we pray, Lord, for this world. We pray for others, but, Lord, we want to pray especially today that you will help to convict our hearts, each one of us, so that we would be used for your glory. Lord, that you would equip us and that we would not be of a spirit of cowardice, but of power and love and of self-discipline. Take our lives, Lord, and use them for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.